Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not our fears, not our worries. It shouldn't separate us from the love of God. Let's take a moment in prayer. Father, we again thank you for your presence with us and the joy that we have as we abide in you. And thank you that you produce your fruit within us. As we look into your word this morning, we pray for your Holy Spirit to have your way, that you would comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us, sustain us, convict us, challenge us. Thank you that this is the work of your Spirit. And we thank you that your word never returns to you void, always achieving what you have set it to do. And so we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're getting to the close of the end of this present series in personal evangelism. I appreciate Matt's leading this morning and mentioning some of those things and how it's been impacting his life over years, going way back. Still, evangelism can be a little scary, can't it? The Greek word evangelon means the gospel. And so Paul wrote in Philippians 1:5, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the evangelon, in the gospel. Your partnership in the gospel. So an evangelist is really someone who preaches or proclaims the gospel, the good news. And we have a picture in our mind of the evangelist preacher who confidently presents the gospel and people respond in their droves. And so evangelism can be a bit scary to mere mortals like us. And for most of us, we probably also feel guilty when it comes to evangelism. Do you feel guilty? A few nods of the head. We think that we're meant to have all of the answers to people's questions, and that if we're trying to share our faith, then we should be successful in leading people to the Lord, into God's family. There are some Christians who have the gift of evangelism. Most of us, I don't think, have the gift of evangelism. But for some people, some Christians, they have the gift of evangelism. The Holy Spirit leads and uses them in amazing ways. Again, as I said, most of us don't have that gift. And so we back away from it because we feel inadequate. We feel that people would reject us. We feel that maybe we don't have the answers to their questions. We feel guilty. We feel it's all a bit scary. As Miles made the point last week, the first of the big five points that he made were to be certain of what you believe. And I was noticing in our songs this morning that what we were singing was what we believe. We were making statement after statement in the songs that we were singing about what we believe. And last week for Miles too, in point three, to be prepared to share what you believe. 2 weeks ago, I suggested that we should take every opportunity to share what we believe, but then to leave the results with the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit who brings conviction. We're not responsible as to how somebody might respond to what we believe. They are, as they come under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So what I'd like to emphasise afresh is that we shouldn't necessarily feel afraid to talk about what we believe, just as we're talking to somebody and they share what they believe. We too, we can share what we believe, can't we? We should. Because this isn't a competition. This isn't, well, I have to win them. we're free to share with others why we have faith in God. It's up to them what they do with that. Again, it's for us, I think it's important to emphasise, we're not selling a product that we're trying to convince them to buy. It might feel that like that sometimes, but we're not actually trying to sell them anything. It's all about sowing seeds and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in their heart. So to recount some of the past week's teaching, when we take a genuine interest in others, when we demonstrate that we actually care about them, when we spend time with them, when we share with them what we truly believe, then we may also have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And so I'd like to give you a simple outline to follow for such an occasion. When you might have an opportunity to share the gospel, it's called the Roman Road. And many of you received that as you came in this morning. It's the Roman Road. Many years ago, in fact, I think it was about 14 years ago, Faye led us through these verses. Faye might even remember that message. She also had a handout that you might still have in your Bible. That was it. Anyway, I've done a fresh one that's out of more like cardboard, so it might be it last longer. If you haven't got one, there's some more out there in the foyer. You might want to grab one as you leave today. But it's worth revisiting the Roman Road. I think it's invaluable to have a plan that you can just go to, grab, when you have that opportunity to share the gospel. Now, you've probably seen a picture like this depicting the construction of ancient roads versus modern roads today. And you might have heard the saying that all roads lead to Rome. That comes from the fact that Rome built durable roads connecting most of Europe and parts of Asia back to Rome. Such was the domination of Rome and their reach. But they built excellent roads. So the Roman Road that we're talking about today, it's the simple way to share the gospel. And it's a great roadmap that leads to salvation as defined by Paul in the book of Romans. Every scriptural verse there is from Romans. Now, if you and I needed to be saved, and we did, what did we need to be saved from? And so this is where Paul commences, our condition. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, for there is no one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. God is a holy God, and his original creation before the fall was perfect, was sinless. If you're like me, you can't even grasp in your head what that even looked like. How glorious that must have been, how wonderful, how perfect, how living without sin. It must have been so good. God's original creation, a perfect world where there's no sin, where relationships between us and God was perfect, and between one another, between Adam and Eve, their relationship was perfect. Perfect. Now, there's some husbands and wives here today who think their marriage is just magic. Hands up? Yeah, not one. None of our relationships are sweet, perfect, beautiful, you couldn't wish for better. None. But that's how it was in the initial creation, was bathed in the glory of God. Just glorious. Since the fall, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. The word sin means to miss the mark. Miss the mark, miss the bullseye. Now, in golf, the perfect golf shot is a hole-in-one. Has anybody ever shot a hole-in-one? One? There you go. You might have done it on the, you know, the little putt-putt course. And even then, that was a fluke, wasn't it? You show me a golfer who makes a hole-in-one every time he tees off. There is none perfect. No, not one. Everyone misses the mark. Everyone is a sinner and lives within the consequences of sin. As a result, we have been estranged from God. We no longer walk in that perfect relationship that there was at first. And try as we may, we cannot restore ourselves to that relationship with God where there is no sin, where we no longer live in the consequences of sin. We cannot save ourselves. And so we need to be saved, for our future eternity depends upon it. And so we need to be saved. You see, Romans 6:23 reveals to us the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal life is not ours if we remain under the curse of sin. The wages of sin is death. However, God has a solution. And Romans 6:23 doesn't end there. Praise God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What we earn as a result of sin is death. It's the natural consequence of sin. It's death. The result of sin for Adam and Eve and all of us thereafter is death, sickness, disease, war, chaos, abuse, separation from God. A world that's hard to live in. But God offers us the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. God offers us a way out of our sin predicament, and it's a gift. It's not earned. It's a gift. And a gift is simply received. And this gift is given in love, Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, as some translations put it, Christ died for us. God loves us. Now I want you to imagine for a moment that you're in the middle of a disaster movie. Just pretend for a moment that you've just heard that a giant meteor will destroy Australia next week. All transportation is out of commission. The government can't help you. The military can't help you. It's everyone for themselves, and there's only one way to be saved. That is to swim from Australia all the way to New Zealand. Everyone lines up on the coast. Olympic swimmers stand next to people from Toowoomba's Palm Lake Retirement Village. And they all start out to swim. Some start out strong, others can barely, I'm not pointing fingers, but others barely totter into the surf before going under. But the reality is that no one is going to make that 2,000 kilometre swim to save themselves. In the end, the strongest will be just as dead in the water as everybody else. Even though in our sin we demonstrated that we didn't want God and we didn't need God in our own perception, our own understanding, when Jesus died on the cross for our sin, he built the bridge to save us, to get us into eternal life. And the only reason that he did that was love. And we thought about that this morning as he was crucified on that cross. God so loved us that he gave his only son to save us so that we wouldn't perish. He built the bridge. And so as we recognize our condition and we recognize God's solution, then that needs our response. And what is our response? It's faith. And faith is stepping back out of that water and onto the bridge. Paul says in Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as we put our trust in God that Jesus' death has paid the price for our sin that we step onto the bridge, trusting that this is the way to eternal life. Without that trust in God, we keep struggling to swim. And so faith, in faith we call out to God to save us and confess our sin. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9 is our response. If we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. No ifs, buts, maybes. You will be saved. So faith is more than just agreeing with something in your mind. Everybody, anybody can say that they believe in God. Anybody can say that. I believe in God. But saving faith leads to action and change. Confession turns thought into action, and it's a public commitment. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you let other people know that what you believe in your heart to be true, then you will be saved. With our heart we believe, and with our mouth we make what we believe known. Once again, Miles spoke about that last week. Due to our faith in God, we do care. We do care what will happen to those without faith in Christ. We're deeply concerned about their eternity. We grieve for those who are lost. Do we grieve for those who are lost? Last weekend, Kylie and I were down at Surfers Paradise. As we sat in the mall, we watched people passing by. And we were struck by a sense of despair for people who appeared to be so lost. Some of these people, you could just see it on their face. They're lost. They were so downcast. This is Surfers Paradise, where all the action is. Yet people look so downcast. Our faith in God moves us to share with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we too will be saved. We too will be raised to eternal life. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never, never die." Paul wrote some other words around that same theme. He said, "For since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, Jesus. For in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Just as Jesus was raised back from the dead, so our faith in him assures us that we too will be raised from the dead, that we will never die. Our physical body dies, but our spiritual continues to live. As further public declaration of our faith in Jesus, we submit to baptism. We do as Jesus did. We're baptised to show that we're prepared to do whatever God might ask of us. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." God's response to our sinful condition leads us to our response. And in baptism, we identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Baptism is a picture of our salvation story. We die to sin and are raised to spiritual life. We're declaring that we no longer want sin to dominate our lives, but with God's help, we'll seek to live for him. The old has been made new. In baptism, we declare to the world around us that we're following Jesus, we're trusting Jesus, we're living from Jesus from this point on. So baptism is an important public declaration of who we are and our faith in Jesus. And the final step on the Roman road speaks of God's promise. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Aren't they wonderful words? There's now no condemnation for us. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. If God is for us, who can be against us? Through faith in Jesus, we are now declared righteous. It's just as if we'd never sinned. That's how we stand before the Father. That's how the Father sees us. We are therefore no longer condemned to eternal separation from God, but rather welcomed into his glorious presence. We're no longer under the penalty and the punishment of sin. We are set free from the law of sin and death. And so this is the Roman road that leads to salvation. I want to invite the musicians and the singers to come back up. But these verses reassure us of our salvation. And I trust that these verses give you, as they give me, hope and peace. But there are also verses that might help you to lead someone else to Jesus too. These verses remind me of John 3:16, which is putting it all into that beautiful nutshell that simply declares that God loves, God gave, we believe, and therefore we live. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, whoever believes in him won't perish, but have eternal life. And we praise him this morning. Maybe you're at the crossroads today and the Roman road has shown you the way unto eternal life. I want to encourage you to make your response of confession before the Lord today. And let us praise God for our salvation. So let's stand and sing together.